for our reading this morning. And it can be found in our Pew Bibles on page 1070. And it's from John chapter 6, verses 25 to 35. That's page 1070, John chapter 6. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty."
Hilary, thank you very much. Let me pray as we start. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity to gather and to listen to your word read, the words of the Lord Jesus himself. Please, by the help of your Spirit, help us understand and take to heart his words to each of us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to food, there's no denying that in the West we have a massive choice, don't we? Just take, for example, carbohydrates. When lunchtime comes around, we can choose from potatoes or rice or pasta or bread. But that's not the end of the decision, is it? Because we then have to choose which potato or rice or pasta or bread. This past week, I did a quick and highly unscientific online check with one supermarket. And in their bakery section, guess how many types of bread they had? Anyone want to offer a guess? 255. 255 types of bread. Baguettes, ciabatta, loaf, cobs, rolls, white, brown, multigrain. They were all there. We have a lot of choice. But in many parts of the world today, it's not a case of choosing which takes your fancy on any given day. It's not a case of choice, but a case of need. Because the carbohydrate, whether it's bread, ugali, tapalapa, rice, it's essential. It's the basic foodstuff by which you live, the main component of your diet. It is essential for life. And we need to remember that as we begin looking at these words of the Lord Jesus, because it was just the same in his day. The basic foodstuff of his day was bread. Bread was something that you could not live without, quite literally. So nobody in Jesus' day would be disappointed if their packed lunch was a poppy seed baguette rather than a sesame seed bagel. They'd just be happy to have bread. Because if they have bread, they eat, and if they eat, they live. But now imagine eating something that meant you lived forever. Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka, he invented an everlasting gobstopper. But of course, whilst the gobstopper was said to be everlasting, it never promised everlasting life to the recipient. Presumably, it's the sort of thing you then left in your will for another member of the family to start. I don't know how that works. It's pretty disgusting. Of course, it was all made up. But did you notice the promise Jesus makes? In John 6, Jesus offers bread. Bread which, if you and I eat of it, we will live forever. That's the promise Jesus is making this morning. But as we begin, we need to keep in mind a quite extraordinary miracle that Jesus just performed the day before he said these words. Back in chapter 2 of John chapter 6, we're told that a huge crowd, probably about 15,000 people, were following Jesus. They were following Jesus because they'd seen and heard the miraculous healings that Jesus could perform. So in their excitement, they'd rush to see what Jesus would do next, but they forgot to take their lunch with them. All except for little Johnny. His mum had packed him off with a tuna sandwich. Now, little Johnny must have had quite the appetite, because it turns out he had 5 loaves and 2 fish in his packed lunchbox. But what Jesus does is he takes those loaves and fish, and amazingly, miraculously, he feeds, as I say, about 15,000 people. Not unsurprisingly, the crowd there that day, stomachs full, they realize Jesus is pretty special. So they try to crown him as their king there and then. Jesus is just the sort of person you want heading up your government, isn't he? No more food shortages with this king. But they fail to understand that that's not the kind of king Jesus is going to be. And so he escapes to the hills. Well, as we pick things up from verse 25, where Hilary read for us, it's the next day. The miracle was the day before. But the crowd, they've been looking for Jesus, and they found him again in Capernaum on the other side of the lake. And so in verse 25, they ask him the question, Rabbi, Jesus, teacher, when did you get here? Seems an innocent enough question, doesn't it? But actually, in verse 26, Jesus reveals their true motive. I tell you the truth. You're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Jesus says, the only reason you're interested in me is because your stomach's rumbling and you think I can give you free food. They're seeing Jesus as one of those eat as much as you can buffets. And I can kind of understand that. I don't know about you, but on occasion I've been for a lunchtime buffet at a pizza place, and you sit down, you pay your money, and you do the maths, don't you? If I eat 12 slices of pizza, I'll probably be quids in. It'll be good value. So what do? I eat 12 slices of pizza. I leave the crusts, obviously that's a waste, but I'll eat the 12 slices of pizza and I'll pay the bill. And as I go home with mild indigestion setting in, I think, well, I'm not going to do that for a while. Certainly not tomorrow. But here's the thing. If on my way out, the manager gave me my money back and told me it was a free meal, and not only today, but every day, I reckon I'd go back again the next day. Because it's free food, it'll save me money. And it's the same with the crowd. They're chasing after Jesus because they're hungry, and he provided bread and fish. But as well as that, we need to realize that in Jesus' day, most people would spend about 85% of their daily wage on food. So if Jesus is giving you free food, that's 85% of your daily wage that you can now spend on something else. So all of a sudden, it's not only full stomachs that Jesus offers, but your bank account will become full as well. No wonder they're searching Jesus out. But to come to Jesus just for food is to miss the point. Jesus says that his miraculous feeding was a sign as to his true identity. They haven't seen what the sign pointed to, what it signified, what the sign, the miraculous feeding, signified. Now, brilliantly, Jesus helps us understand that. But not before he lays down a challenge to them then and to us today. 3 quick headings for you. The first one, Jesus says, pursue food that endures to eternal life. It's there in the first half of verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Jesus is not saying do no work so that you have no way of paying for your groceries each week. And he's not devaluing work either. Jesus isn't talking about work at all. He's not talking about the nature of the work we do. He's challenging them and us on what you or I pursue, what we pour our energies into. Jesus is saying, what are you working for? What are you working towards? What are you hungering after in life? What is your goal? There are, of course, many answers to that question. Some of them are good things to pursue, some of them bad things, some just simply fall into being necessary. We need to pour our energy into lots of different things. But let's not miss Jesus' point. None of those other things can offer us eternal life. All those other things, they either wear out or they wear us out pursuing them, or we just become weary of them in time. As I say, they may not be bad things in themselves, but what Jesus wants us to grasp here is that those other things are not to be our ultimate pursuit. Why? Well, simply because they will not give you eternal life. Instead, Jesus says, look, pursue, work for food that gives eternal life. Which, of course, leads to the question in verse 28. What must we do to do the works God requires? See, the crowd hear Jesus, or at least they half hear Jesus. Okay, I'm not going to pursue those other things. What do I need to do, Jesus, to get this eternal life? How do I earn it? Well, they've missed what Jesus said in the second half of verse 27. It's not something we earn, it's something that God gives. God has sent Jesus to give us this food. Let me read from the second half of verse 27. Oh, sorry, verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Jesus is teaching that what they, we, need to do is to believe in, put our faith in, the one who is sent from God. In other words, they need to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. He's the one approved by God. He's the one who's come from heaven and has been authorized by God to give this food that endures to eternal life, to offer it. But if what the crowd are supposed to do is believe in who Jesus is, well, it turns out that in verse 30, they want him to do something first, to prove he is who he says he is, to prove that he is approved by God. Now, we might think at this point, well, they have a jolly short memory. Surely what Jesus did just the day before was enough proof. But they want more proof. It seems from verse 31 onwards, their thoughts have turned to Moses, the time when God's people Israel, they were rescued from slavery in Egypt, they were wandering in the wilderness, and miraculously they were given food to eat whilst they were there. That food was called manna. So they sort of put two and two together and say, well, Jesus, if you're the one approved by God as you say you are, then you must be able to do something at least as impressive as Moses, if not more so. Moses gave us manna. What are you going to do, Jesus? And we think, well, he did that yesterday, but they're saying, yeah, we want you to do that again today and every day. Jesus replies and says, well, you're still misunderstanding. See, not only were they wrong about Jesus' identity following the miracle, they didn't realize that was a sign pointing to Jesus. Not only are they wrong in thinking they can earn eternal life themselves, they're also wrong here in thinking that it was Moses who provided the manna in the wilderness. As Jesus says very clearly in verse 32, it wasn't Moses who gave the manna, it was God. Actually, Moses makes that quite clear at the time. But Jesus' point is that it was God who provided bread back then in the wilderness, and it's God who's providing bread now, true bread from heaven, Jesus says. In our reading, the verb give is used seven times, and the direction of the giving is always the same. It is God who is the giver. Eternal life cannot be earned, it is given by God. And God has sent Jesus to give it. So in verse 34, the crowd are beginning to get it. From now on, give us this bread. But they still don't quite get it. They think that Jesus is saying he's the one who will give the bread. They're still thinking in physical terms of bread. That from now on is the sense of always. That is each and every day, Jesus, can you give us this bread that endures to eternal life? They want Jesus to be a bit like the milkman. Remember the milkman? They're asking for some true bread from heaven along with 2 pints of skim milk and a carton of cream. If you can bring that to my door every day, Jesus, that'd be great. But what Jesus is saying is much more than that. See, in verse 35, Jesus is as clear as he can be. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus says, look, let me spell this out for you as clearly as I can. The true bread from heaven, which gives eternal life, is me, says Jesus. And here's the most important thing we need to understand. Jesus is the true bread from heaven who gives eternal life. The true bread is not a panini, it's a person. Jesus is not the deliverer of the bread, he is the bread. What does it look like to eat of this bread then in that sense? Well, in verse 35, Jesus tells us we need to come to him. We need to believe in him. Jesus as the bread of life is not about chewing. It's about choosing to trust. It's not about eating food. It's about following Jesus. That's why Christianity is so different to religion. Because Christianity is all about coming to a person. Coming to relationship with this Jesus. It's not about our trying to earn eternal life. It's a relationship we receive, and with that comes the promise of eternal life. And verse 35 is the most wonderful, life-changing promise. The one who comes to Jesus will never go hungry. He who believes in him will never be thirsty. It's another way of talking about how we will live forever with him. Anyone who comes to Jesus will never go hungry. Anyone who believes in Jesus will never be thirsty. It is the promise of eternal life for all those who put their trust in him. That is to say, from the moment you put your trust in Jesus, you are guaranteed eternal life. As I draw to a close, I hope you see that if you are a Christian believer here today, then you have much to give thanks for and much to look forward to. For your believing in Jesus guarantees eternal life. Why? Because of what you've done? No. Because he's the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. But if you're someone here who hasn't yet done that, well, you can't lay claim to this promise Jesus makes. Not yet. See, it's one thing to be an admirer of Jesus, to even be quite impressed by him, to even want things from him. That's what the crowd were after. But Jesus says it's a very different thing to believe in him. Not just as a simple, not simply as a healer of the sick, which he was, nor as a miracle worker, which he was, not even as a free meal ticket, but as the bread of life, who promises eternal life to all those who come to him, to all those who believe in him. Charles Blondin is a name that may be known to you. He was a French tightrope walker and in the 19th century who became most famous by crossing the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. But he never wanted to do the same thing twice. So once he'd gone across it once, he then did it in other ways. He did it on a bicycle. He pushed a wheelbarrow across. He walked it blindfolded. He even cooked an omelette in the middle one day. He also did it with his hands and feet chained. He was an extraordinary man. Apparently, one time, having just crossed one way, he turned to the crowd and he asked the question, do you believe I can do it with someone on my back? Do you believe I can tightrope across the Niagara Falls carrying someone on my back? Apparently, the crowd responded, of course you can. You're the great Blondin. We believe, we believe. He then asked the question, who will be that person? Who's going to volunteer to get on my back? The crowd fell silent. and nobody stepped forward. See, they liked watching him. They even shouted, "We believe in you." But they weren't prepared to put their trust in him and step forward. But then one man did. There's a picture of him. It was his manager, Harry Colcord. He so trusted Blondin that he was prepared to climb on his back. See, to believe in Jesus as the bread of life, it's not to keep our distance from him or to fall silent when he calls. It is to come to him and to be carried by his promise in verse 35. Let me read it again to you as I finish. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Let me lead us in a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to listen to the Lord Jesus and pray that you'll help us understand this morning not only the miracle Jesus did, but the sign to which it pointed. That he is not only the one who can meet physical hunger, but the one who meets our spiritual hunger. The one who is the bread of life, and through coming to him, trusting in him, we receive the promise of eternal life. Pray that you help us rest assured in that great promise in the week ahead. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.